Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV. It's time to get the headliner questions. Before we do, let's say hello to our good friend, Dr. Birch. Birch Orthodontics, sponsoring the hour, the ride and die orthodontist that she is. Heather is doing, Dr. Birch, I should say. I'm so comfortable with her.
Right,
so
yeah.
Well. And you will be too.
Yeah, doing such a good job that my oldest, who does turn 14 on Thursday, doesn't even complain about the braces.
Nice.
Doesn't even complain about them. That's how good and how solid the work has been. Every now and then when he gets adjusted, he's kind of like, less than 24 hours later, silence. He's perfectly pleased. So my point is, don't be afraid. Get in there and get the work done.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right. Your kids will thank you for it.
Don't be a baby, right?
Don't be a baby.
Dr. Birch won't put up with babies coming in there.
Yeah. Don't tell her that you won't watch a second of your favorite team in the World Series.
That's correct. BirchOrthodontics.com.
She makes those braces real tight.
The website, the free consultations, tremendous work, and also difficult cases, the free consultations, payment plans, everything you could ask for and more, and tremendous football knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Big good conversations. Goal. Yeah, big good conversations goal. To have there. All right, so I would have thought.
By the way, I think she could help in the portal. Don't you think that an orthodontist could maybe throw out a few bones to wide receiver?
Orthodontic care?
Well,
like if you sign with Florida State, I give you some braces.
That's something, or just money from the business to advertise.
Tony wants to know, first question on Facebook. Hey guys, what do you sell recruits to get them to consider FSU when apparently playing time doesn't seem to work? There are a lot of players going to stack teams already, like Georgia, Alabama, or Ohio State, when they probably won't see the field for a year or two.
I think stacks was the key word in that sentence.
Yeah, stacks.
But I don't know how you can say that. Florida State's got a top 10 recruiting class. I mean, they're doing well.
In the 90s, it was different because, you know, Spurrier would always say, I don't understand how Florida State keeps getting all these kids to commit when they have all these USA Today All-Americans anyway. Players want to go play at places that produce NFL guys and win games.
Yeah.
But they also want to play. And so, yeah, okay, you might lose somebody to Georgia for a year, and then when they see, I don't know that I'm ever going to play here. I mean, the whole landscape is different.
Yeah, the transfer portal has changed things. The other thing, though, the reason that you can
recruit
the way that it did in the 90s,
3 years in a row,
was because there were only so many high-profile teams that got the bulk of the media attention.
Yeah.
So if you went to Boise because you could play right away, well, good luck. Nobody's ever going to see you.
Yeah.
Now every team is on TV every weekend. Every game can be found rather easily with a couple clicks.
Yeah.
So that changed the landscape as well. Mike writes, reflecting on my sixth trip to Clemson, it has become clear to me why that area was chosen for the cinematic masterpiece Deliverance. If Clemson ever changes their fight song to Dueling Banjos, that will be the toughest road environment in the country. Corey, when we took the late lead, did it ever cross your mind that you might be rolling down that cold, wet hill?
Yeah, it did. I was wondering what the security – I didn't even look after the game. I don't think there was anybody up there. We were on the field to do our – we could have just walked up that hill. So it did occur to me.
Damage, Ira.
Yeah, we could have.
I didn't know if I was going to roll or just run down it. How that would have happened. So it's probably better. Well, I shouldn't say that. But yes, I was thinking once they got the 3-and-out, I'm like, man, they have it. They could, because I really did. I thought, you know what? This is the moment where Jordan Travis is going to bust something. He's going to bust something.
But there was no evidence prior to that drive to suggest that was about to happen.
Much like Max Fried tonight. Not a lot of evidence he's going to pitch well here the last couple starts. But
you just think it's going to happen.
I felt it in my bones, deep down in my plums.
I guess Max is in trouble tonight.
It didn't work out well. But I just thought they would hammer out a couple first downs, and then that would be they'd be able to close out the game. And
the old 1.9 yards per carry prior to that led you to believe they're going to hammer out some first downs.
It didn't happen. Well, look, if Malik McClain gets a hand on a cornerback, I think you get some yards on that first play, or the set, whenever that was, when he missed the
block.
Well,
after the false start.
Yeah, well, in the false start, man.
That's a toughie.
That's tough to overcome.
But, you know, a lot of that does have to do directly with getting your ass kicked.
Well, by the way, just to clarify.
Get an early start.
Deliverance was filmed in Rabun County, Georgia. Mm. It's a point of pride for us Georgians.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of pride.
To point that out, it was in the Chattooga River.
Matt writes, with all the money in college football, can the NCAA do anything with the referees in this sport? You don't see near the same amount of blown calls on Sundays that you see on Saturdays. The conferences really need to either pay these guys to be better or start training them year-round.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, and Norvell brought it up yesterday, and nobody talks about it because it was at a kind of inconsequential time, I guess. Although, when you play the way Florida State did offensively and you only have as many snaps as they did, everything's consequential. But that play where they marked Jordan Travis is going out of bounds when he threw it didn't make any sense. And Norvell even said yesterday he wanted to challenge it. We were watching him because when it happened.
Because you could see,
And he actually started going over towards the referee that was on the sideline, but then they snapped the ball and he decided not to do it. But they, you know, the pass interference, I knew for sure they were going to call it. Somebody was going to call it just because of where it was.
Yeah.
Because Clemson was at home, and I just felt like they were going to make that call for the fans, if nothing else.
Well, and it's frustrating because you do feel like emotion does play a big 100%. Part a lot of times in the way officials call games. And I know they're trying not to do that, but look at any play on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It's a direct reaction to coaches throwing their headset and fans freaking
especially
out.
Especially depending on what
they're
sideline
always
it is.
Usually, I'm saying they can't wait to throw that flag. That really bothers me. But I will say this. The Johnson one, Jerrion Johnson one was interference. The Knowles one was not.
Jerrion Jones.
The Knowles one was not.
No.
But unfortunately, I know there's no face guarding in college football. He was slightly beat, so he has to come back. He does time it perfectly, but I had a bad feeling because he doesn't get his head at all around that they were going to throw it.
Yeah, and on the DJ Lundy hit, you know, they're just going to call
that. They're always going to call that.
But that was my point to Ira, is that whether he's inbounds or close to inbounds, they're always going to call it when it's on that sideline and it's a quarterback. But
you know what?
But the problem with that is Trayshawn Ward's next kickoff return, after they scored on that drive, it's almost the exact same kind of hit.
Clobbered out of bounds.
But he was on Clemson's sideline.
The other thing
is,
so
it didn't count.
And it drives me nuts, too, because they're doing so much to protect players on the opposing team's sideline, but that's exactly how Syracuse got screwed. I mean, if you think about it from their perspective, Jordan Travis is running out of bounds, and then he's like, oh, you're going to stop? All right, well, I'm an athlete. I'll stop on a dime, too, and run another 20 yards. And defensive players don't have a chance anymore.
Right.
I also think Lundy was gassed, and you when you watch it back, man, he's just kind of like gassed and just kind of lunges at the guy.
But like Fuller said yesterday, like, you got to know quarterback sideline. Take it easy. Don't give him an excuse to throw a flag, even if you don't agree with it.
Daniel writes, I don't have a question today, guys. Just request that the University of Florida keeps Dan Mullen forever. Yeah, he's fun. He's fun to listen.
I don't think you're going to get your wish.
I don't think so either. But I. So long as that they don't go in the tank here in these next three games, and they shouldn't, because South Carolina's terrible, and then they've got some other, like, Sisters of the Poor and something. I don't think they're going to fire him.
No, I think
Grantham's gone.
Well, and he might leave on his own, man. It's not a good situation. And they don't like him, and I'm sure he doesn't like them.
Well, right. Now, there's evidence to suggest he's doing everything he can to get fired. Yeah. But I don't think they would fire him if they don't have to.
He's just such a weird dude, man. Just such a weird
dude. It's a bit
of
an understatement. Yeah, he is. Corey Braves and Six writes, Dustin, hope you all enjoyed the cigars. Don't forget to share with Jeff, Ira, and Aslan. Love the show, guys. Question is, the program still headed in the right direction if we lose the last four games?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Is Florida retained if that happens? And what other coaching changes would you make, if any, writes Dustin. Well, here's the thing. We said before the year started, no matter the record, they're not firing Mike Norvell. Is there a chance that you make changes on the staff? Yeah, I think there's a chance. And I think right now that's what's up in the air here. I think we have questions about a couple of guys. But there are games still to be played. If they play well and they continue to show growth, then those guys keep their job and we have continuity. I think it's important if you can have continuity, do so. There's still maybe a couple of changes, but
it would be huge for them, for all of them, to win two of these four games.
Yeah, it'd be really
and
important.
I think they can win two of these four games. If they win three, great. If you only win one, it's going to be dicey. If you lose all of them, yeah, that's going to be a,
if you only win one, I would say, and it would be, you know, it depends on which one. I mean, if you beat Miami, that's a big one to win. Yeah. Beat Florida, that's a big one to win. If the one is just BC, doesn't feel as good.
Yeah.
Because I could live with just one more win. I don't want that. I'd love to win three, four more games. Hell. But I could live with one more win if it's a good win. If it's just that you beat BC and then you get beat by the other three good teams that remain on the schedule, that's a toughie. It would have you really lamenting once again the Jacksonville State game because at that point you'd say, well, they went 5-7, and that's kind of what we thought was possible.
Yeah, I think almost you have to, as a fan maybe, if they go 4-8, just go ahead and chalk up that Jacksonville State one as a win. And say, you know what, we're not worried about that. That was just a goofy final minute.
Well, but
they're 5-7.
But if you're assessing four, that minute reflects
that
poorly upon him.
Absolutely.
That receiver now, after eight or nine games, maybe nine games, he's up to like 170 yards of receiving this year.
Oh, good. So that was half of it.
Eight games since then, he's
Yeah, that was his Toa Feely moment. By the way, good for Toa Feely. I think that better give him some confidence. And that gave him confidence in him because he was out there when it mattered after that play.
And he played well last year too.
Yeah, so that's good to see. But
last week, I mean.
If they finish 4-8, let's just go ahead and say they finish 5-7. Let's assume that. Let's go ahead and give them the Jacksonville State game.
That one counts,
sure,
man.
But like,
that's what goes into assessment.
But assessment of his question was, would you still feel like they're going in the right direction if they only won? I feel like you do, as long as these games aren't reminiscent of last year. If you still, you know, you've lost basically three games on the final play. You've lost three of your, but I mean, you have. You also won one on the final play. But last year, every loss was an embarrassment. This year, at least, you're close.
No, again, we'll reiterate, they're better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they're anywhere near where you want them to be just yet, and there have been mistakes made.
Sure, but I feel like you would still say they're incrementally they're getting better. The program is still heading in the right direction.
I think.
But then also, if you go 3-9, if you don't win another game, that's tough to make that sell.
It's distinctly possible. Yes. I was encouraged on Saturday, right, Stuart? We are finally getting better, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Mm. Are you as worried as I am about the Miami game now?
Yeah.
They have not quit like I thought they would. Corey, the Astros burned their pitchers to stay alive and force game six. Our fresh pitchers will take it home tonight. So we see. Yeah, I'm worried about Miami. Yes.
But I, you know.
Yes, I'm worried about Miami.
I am more concerned about it. I think NC State's a worse matchup. I think defenses travel better than offenses. I don't think that quarterback's going to play as well at Doak as he has played so far. And I think Florida State's offense will play much better against Miami's defense than we've saw them against Clemson. I don't know how well their offense is going to play against NC State. So that, to me, at home, I'd rather play a worse defense and trust my defense against their quarterback.
Even that quarterback.
Yeah, man. I think Miami's a better matchup for Florida State than NC State is. I personally do.
He's got a little Mahomes in him.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Sorry. Well, the current version of Mahomes is pretty average.
Well, yeah. So
What's going on with the Chiefs?
Nuts to watch, right? Yeah. They should have lost last night. Yeah. That's crazy.
They got bailed out with an interception. Yeah. They called the guy offside. He wasn't.
Well, close. Yeah. He did jump into the neutral zone,
come on,
buddy.
Man.
I mean,
he jumped near the neutral zone.
Yeah,
but it's also not why he threw that pass.
No, of
that
course was, he got bailed out.
Yeah,
but
he just looks off. Everything about him looks.
Well, I think
off.
He's probably trying to do an awful lot. Typically, they have one of the worst defenses in football. They didn't last night, but they typically do. So who knows?
Yeah, with Peyton, and I'm sure they talked to their coordinators and coaches, and he was saying he won't take the simple throw. He's trying to do too much.
It happened last night twice. The touchdown pass to Hill, he's got a wide open Kelsey standing there looking at him 3 feet away like, my man, that's the throw. Yeah. But that would have required him to not look further into the end zone. Yeah. It's just kind of weird. Simple headlines. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Seminal Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
This isn't surprising. We have several questions in this vein. Brett writes, I think Corey could do a better job of fielding punts than our guys. At least do that better than he does hour number two. And, yeah, there are several. I want to combine some of those Facebook questions that are all asking about what gives. And I agree. It is. It's exacerbating. It's difficult to watch.
Yeah. Papu just even said, because the UMass kid, you remember those punts? Those were incredible.
Yeah.
He's like, I've never in my life had three returners back because we knew the punts were going to be sprayed everywhere. And he goes, we didn't catch any of them either. It's like, what gives? I don't know.
Can we ban it? Of all the things that have hurt sports, and that analytics and other things have brought to sports, can we ban those kicks? Because think of, like, we would never, Peter Warrick never would have done anything in terms of as a return guy.
Yeah.
T-Buck.
You should have to have a pocket, like in the quarterback. Like, if you roll outside the pocket as a punter, you have to run at that point.
I don't know, man. If I was kicking to Peter Warrick, I would have avoided him.
You would have tried not to.
I would have said, I don't want to kick it to Peter Warrick. Why am I going to do that?
Irish point is they get to run around forever. The coverage gets down there. You kick a line drive. You can't hit him.
No, I'm saying if he's running around with the ball in his hand, you can absolutely hit him.
I'm saying that. Okay, yeah. If the punter rolls outside the pocket, outside of the pocket.
You're allowed to hit them.
No, but as he kicks it, after he kicks it, I don't care.
You lose the protection.
You lose your protection as a punter if you're outside the pocket. You can get destroyed. So do it at your own peril.
It already exists.
Do they?
Yes.
No, you can still get called for roughing the punter, though.
No, if he's outside, you can hit him. You can if he's got the ball in his hand and he's running, and he hasn't kicked yet, and he's outside, you can hit him.
I'm saying as he's kicking it, and you don't hit the ball, you still should be able to knock him on his butt.
Double check it. I think you can hit him.
As he's kicking it.
I haven't seen anybody do it because nobody ever gets there. Nobody tries to block the punt anymore.
That's what they need to do. They just need to make these guys, because punters aren't probably, no offense to our man Keith, punters probably aren't the toughest guys on the field, and if they get drilled a couple times, maybe they'll stop wanting to. Coach, can I just catch it and punt, one step and punt, like Ray Guy?
Double check it. I think that if they're outside the, as you're describing, a pocket, if they're running to do a rugby kick and they have the ball and you get to them in time, you can absolutely light them
up. My point is, though, it stinks because that was a fun part of sports.
Yeah.
Like, punt returns were cool.
Yeah. So were kick returns.
Well, but kick returns they got rid of for safety reasons.
But don't care.
Well, I know you don't care. I'm just saying that's what they did. That's why they did
it. But still, it was, punt returns were awesome. They're a lot of fun to watch. Or they used to be.
Not anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Well, especially if you like punt returns, don't watch Florida State.
Yeah, well, they don't even catch
rules
the ball.
Rules aside, they don't catch the damn ball at all.
Rush 11, what are you doing? You're not going to catch it anyway. Rush 11, you might be able to knock that rolling punter on his butt.
Michael wants to know, seems like we can't win the big one yet, see Notre Dame and Clemson. Removing emotions, how do we realistically look at that Miami and Florida game? Miami just won two big games in a row. Clemson's anemic offense just scored their most points of the year versus us. And Florida will be in the swamp. Yeah, we talked about some of this already. Yeah, I don't know where Florida's head will be at. If Florida cares to play and try real hard, they'll beat Florida State. As far as the NC State game, we already admitted we're all very nervous about that game just from a matchup standpoint. I want to see how they play. I think Florida State should go beat Boston College. That offense now has taken such a dreadful step back after the injuries. If they don't go beat BC, that is problematic. I will have a lot to say about that if that doesn't happen. In terms of these games coming up, they'll be underdogs. So how do you play?
Yeah.
I mean, do you lose 27-20, as you alluded to earlier, or do you get beat 34-10?
I mean, that's a different conversation. When you think about these five opponents, you didn't play them all, but if you'd have played all these five opponents last year, you had no chance against any of them. Maybe BC, but they didn't play BC, did they? But they got worked by NC State. Miami destroyed them.
Yeah.
Florida and Clemson could have both scored 100 if they wanted to, and BC would have beaten them like a drum.
Yeah, that team a year ago was closer to a one-win team than a three-win
team. Or a zero-win team.
They had to beg Duke to come late after a month of not playing football, and that was what it was. They beat Jacksonville State for their win.
So the point being, I feel like they're going to be underdogs in most of these games, but just like the game on Saturday, I think they have a chance going into this week. Just like in the Florida week, they have a chance to win if they play well, or if Florida plays poor, whatever. Last year it wouldn't have mattered.
We'll worry about, I guess.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's not what we do
that's
here.
Not what we're doing, man.
We're not, but we're covering a 4-8, 5-7 type football
but
team.
But also, there were so many mitigating factors from a year ago. I don't even really look at that and compare the two seasons. Yes, they're a better team.
But I like
think they're better, objectively better, for a lot of different reasons.
We knew they couldn't beat NC State last year. Like, I went up there, it was pointless. We knew what was going to happen. This time, you actually got a shot. And I am very interested to see, like, they can say, let's take Brent Venables' plan. Let's do exactly to Jordan Travis what Brent Venables did. Okay, well, we'll see if you can do it, if you have the guys that can do it. Right. Not everybody does.
No. Clemson has a top three defense in the country. What happened up there is what I thought would happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me a Mensa. Anybody could have kind of looked at that and said, problematic to try to block them.
Yeah.
But I do think it's problematic to try to block NC State, too. Not quite the same way it is with Clemson. This is – Ira's right. This is not a good matchup.
No.
This is if I had to bet, I'd bet on NC State to win this game. And I'm not going to bet on it, and I'm not saying it's not winnable. But I'm very concerned about it. And I'm concerned – we'll see. Where is their head at? They have proven that they're a resilient bunch, though.
And the one place where the defense has played so much better than it's played in years is situationally. They're much better in the red zone. They're much better in just different situations than they have been in the past. And that's, they were really good on third down the other night. So that's a play. They have to do that again because NC State's going to move the ball with that.
Yeah, man. And you're not going to intercept them. You're probably not going to sack them. That just doesn't happen to that guy.
Yeah. It's interesting looking at that team. Of course, I'm trying to find like teams that we have faced. Obviously, they beat Clemson in overtime, 27-21, and then of course they played Louisville and they beat them 28-13 last week. They come off. Leary is just good. I'm looking at those numbers over and over again. He's a good player. It's
a lot of good quarterbacks in the ACC, man. Really, there are.
Yeah, like, Leary's good. Let's
get back to
he's
questions.
Not as good as the Miami guy, but he's close.
You've really made this a bit.
No, I mean the guys come out of nowhere to, it's just nuts.
Nancy wants to know, will Comcast ever get the ACC network?
No,
allegedly.
No, I don't believe it.
Are we hearing that it's going to happen anytime soon?
We've been hearing it for a while, but yeah. because it's all part of the Comcast Disney negotiations, which is a much bigger issue than just the ACC network. But they're going to be in there whenever that happens.
Gator Kirk said, "Hey, we played poor on offense, still had a chance to win. Frustrating. What would be the impact on the program if we finished 3-9 with FSU being competitive in each game?"
That's kind of my overriding point. I think it's minimal. Whether you're 5-7 or 3-9, you're still a losing football team. But if you show that you're competitive and you've made strides, I would think that nuance would matter to most of the people you're recruiting, I would think. But, hey, man, go get you a couple more wins. Yeah, Let's not even have that conversation.
I think it would probably help.
Yeah. I don't think it certainly wouldn't help.
Games would do
it wouldn't
right.
help
yeah.
to go 3-9.
Miles writes, "Fellas, our special teams unit has brought me to the point where I physically will be able to I will physically be unable to have children. On punt returns, let's line up all 11 men in 5-yard increments. That way, maybe one of them will catch the punt before the ball hits the ground.
Like diagonally
across.
Like a zigzag.
I agree.
And sometimes you move the zigzag before he punts, so it really confuses him. That's a great idea, actually.
Max Johnson is referenced here, by the way.
Okay.
Michael writes, "If throwing your balls in the air is wrong, I don't want to be right." That's the Jermaine Johnson play. Hashtag save us, Max Johnson. I've started a movement.
Yeah, Corey. but nobody could blame that game on Jordan Travis.
I thought he played pretty poor.
But who does? Who plays pretty well against that defense and with those receivers?
Yeah, I was going to say Pickett played well, but again, very different team.
Better offensive line.
Listen, we're not going to do this thing. I mean, we're allowed to criticize Jordan Travis.
Yeah, but it's hard to gauge. It's hard to, like, is it what he did against Syracuse and North Carolina more indicative of how you would grade him? And Notre Dame, which he didn't play all that well either.
No.
Isn't that more indicative than that defense?
Oh, I mean, it was an impossible matchup. Georgia scored three points
against them.
So, no, I know. I agree.
So that's terrible for him. Let's see what these next four games look like before we start clamoring for Max Johnson. Because I know you have.
I'm going to continue.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
With you, but I saw that on Twitter. Like people blaming Jordan Travis. Like, yeah, no, he didn't play well. Who does? Good luck.
Okay. The only thing that I think is fair. So this is nuanced because I think you're right to expect him to have a good game against that defense with the limitations this offense has. Sure, I agree. It'd be pretty hard. If you go back, and I don't know, maybe Tom will do it. Well, he's got to look ahead on third and Lang for WarChant.com. But if you go back, man, I can show these to you if you want me to. There are a lot of plays where I think it's maybe a little bit nerves from the fact that his offensive line is getting caved in early in the game.
That would affect you a little bit.
I think so. But, man, they did – this is a to me, this is a credit to Dillingham and Norvell. There are plenty of plays there for the taking that he doesn't make.
You talking about with his arm or
with his arm?
Yeah, okay.
That he doesn't even bother to look at.
Yeah, hey, look, man, he's got to grow. The quarterbacks grow, and I think what gets lost in the criticism of Travis is if you put a mere mortal running back, a mere mortal at quarterback,
oh, no,
they can't
run. Already saw it. We already saw what happens. So McKenzie Milton was there. They couldn't run the ball.
So he's good enough for right now. He might not be good enough to win you a championship.
Oh, without question, he's the guy they have to play. Yeah. I'm not arguing that. But it's plays like this that doesn't do us any good on radio that drive me nuts. I can do this like 7 different screenshots for you where there are people wide the hell open within a second of the snap, and he makes the wrong
read. He doesn't see it quickly yet. He might not ever see it quickly, but what he gives you is what you need right now until you get better around him. Like Max Johnson, if they had Max Johnson.
Yeah, he'd make that throw I just showed you, I guarantee
they wouldn't win that game, and what would their record be?
I don't know that they wouldn't win that game. They nearly won the game.
But what would their record be? Like, you don't know how does Venables guard?
Well, he'd have to guard the whole defense. He'd have to do more than what he did. He'd have to defend everything.
I guess. I think his running ability creates some things that Max Johnson wouldn't create.
I don't disagree with that in the run.
So it's hard to know what the production looks like. That's all. I don't know. You know, again, I know Max Johnson's great. Loved his dad here for the 4 starts.
I'm not necessarily saying they have to go get Max Johnson. You get where I'm going with.
Yeah,
this.
You would like a guy that you can trust, sees it, and gets it out of his hands.
Well, I'd
quicker.
Like a guy that's more balanced, certainly.
Sure,
and throws the ball more accurately.
For right now, with the limitations, we've never had
an argument about that.
Yeah, that's all. So bring in somebody to compete with them. They're going to lose to Jordan Travis too, and we're going to keep mowing. We're going to keep rolling along.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Hey, fellers, I found Register Sausage in my Publix all the way down here in Port Charlotte, writes Tom.
Nice.
Thomas just told us that. Yeah. Right.
Takeover continues.
Yeah. Yay, sausage, he writes. I think I have a problem, guys. I, too, am a sporting guy like old Jeffy. I had a pretty good year heading into the weekend, but I better bet with my heart on FSU.
You handicapped it perfectly. That's just that last play is a debacle. It's a disaster. Toa Feely got banged up on it. It was just a dumb, dumb play. You deserve to win that game.
Probably deserve to win that bet. You could argue some other ways. Like, whenever you get a bad beat, like, you have to look at the totality of the game and say, was I fortunate to be in it? They did miss 3 field goals. They didn't do anything on offense except for the one drive. So, I mean, one big play. So, yeah, I don't know. I did think, as it played out in slow motion, because I've been on the wrong end of those, I didn't bet the game. But as I watched that, I was like, holy moly. Because that also, by the way,
it took
it to the over.
It's a great win if you bet on Clemson.
Yeah,
like, people always talk about the bad beats. What about the great wins? That's a great moment in gambling history.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy it didn't work out.
And it's amazing as you're watching it, you're like, okay, I know what's going to happen here. You can just see
it happens
in super
all the time.
Slow motion. It does happen a lot. And every time a team tries to do that, you're like, oh, no. If you're aware of the line, one way or the other, you're immediately thinking, oh, good God. Sean writes, after a gritty performance by our Noles, I felt the end of the game was a disaster in coaching. On the punt, you've got to return or at least go after it, not let the ball go. Well, I don't think, Sean, first of all, I'm going to interrupt this first part of the question here, wherever this is going. That's not coaching. Nobody taught him to do that. Nobody said don't.
Oh, I feel like he's talking about the last punt,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
So Papuchas talked about that today and said that they wanted to act like they were going to block a kick, and then they set up a return left. And the kid, they had never seen Clemson roll to the right and punt back to the left like they did. And so that's why Trayshawn didn't go get it, because they were expecting a punt to the right and they were going to have a return set up to the left.
And I don't know that he could have got it. I don't give him any hell for that. It's all the other punts that they don't feel that bother me.
Yeah.
When we have the ball, when we're down and we have the ball to take, you have to take what the D gives you there, quick outs to the sidelines, all that's up to try to set up the Hail Mary. I honestly don't even know what the last play was. Just a bad look. The end of the game felt like it was completely mismanaged. Well, I think they're limited. When the other team knows that Jordan has to throw the ball and it's a drop back pass game,
he's talking about dead in the water. What's the point, number one, of a – I mean, I guess if you catch the Hail Mary, you're at the 4-yard line, you can come spike the ball up with 2 seconds left and you got a shot to throw in the end zone. But then what's the point of the last play? What possible – what outcome – Is that practiced? Like Keyshawn Helton catches it and starts running backwards.
Ran backwards. You're taught to run till the space runs out before you get rid of the ball there.
It's not why you lost the game.
But it would appear they hadn't practiced.
Maybe try to get a ball in the middle of the field.
That reeks of desperation, and that's fine. I don't worry about plays in which the clock is run dry and you're out of time. You're just running around crazy. I can live with that. It's the other stuff that typically that you know I think is worth complaining about. And I don't know that that last play changes anything about the way you feel about the game. I guess if you had money on it.
Yes, it does.
But if you didn't, I mean, I didn't turn off my TV because of that last play and say, oh, well, my God, this really became an unmitigated disaster.
Except, a lot of fans don't want to be embarrassed. So when that play gets tweeted out by the Barstool guy and all these other people, the people are laughing at your school.
I guess.
And also, you got a running back hurt for pointlessly.
But that's, to me,
he's trying to recover a ball in the end zone. I mean, look, but
that's not a result of the play call.
Yeah, it's not the play call. That's desperate.
But and also, Travis
I know what you're saying.
Hurt.
People like, say that
on a Hail Mary. I've never seen somebody get hurt on a Hail Mary.
Guys get lit up on
except
Hail Marys.
Travis at Wake Forest.
Yeah, guys get lit up on Hail Marys.
But I'm talking about the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Like they, I mean, you just there was no point in it. What are you trying to do?
My point is,
Clemson will let you go back there and do all that stuff for 20 minutes. They got eight guys. At the 50 and beyond, mm-hmm. you can do all you want to do back there. It's not doing anything. But that, it just,
there was no good answer is all my point. Yeah, that's why I don't want to spend 20 minutes talking.
Yeah,
about
there's no good answer there. I would also say, though, and just in terms of, again, having those feelings, if you watch the end of games in which teams have the ball deep in their own territory and they're desperate, you see the kind of buffoonish stuff we saw there with every team in the country.
Has it ever worked?
The famous play with Stanford and Cal. That's why everybody does it. They pitched it
100
times, ran into the band.
It worked for Miami against Duke.
Those were kick returns.
And it worked for Miami, the Same Dolphins, problem. Against the Patriots. It does work.
That's not because you don't have five offensive linemen on the field on a kick return. It's pointless. It's stupid. It's never worked when you try to throw a laterally do.
But, was he going to throw an 80-yard Hail Mary?
Yeah. I mean that's worked more than this, and you might get a pass interference.
Who do they have on the team that can throw the ball 80 yards?
Well, nobody. That's a problem. Rodemaker. I bet Rodemaker could. He's an athlete.
No, but my point is, if you're a fan feeling embarrassed by that, every team has
come
had
on, man.
That
you played well. You played hard.
Yeah, thank you. I noticed today's depth chart still has him as a backup, writes Nathaniel. But has there been any definitive word on Toa Feely's injury? I'm hoping he's okay because that certainly looked bad. As for NC State, how would you attack them defensively? I know they're down an excellent linebacker. Fagan's also out. But do you think we can control their defensive line enough to employ our usual ground attack? Well, I don't think you have a choice. This was my point going into the Clemson game of why you're going to lose the game. Because you have to lean into what you are with this team. Okay, I won't just say Jordan Travis. I don't want to isolate him. But you have to lean into what that is, which is him in the read option game. You create angles. Atkins does a great job with that. Your receivers are extremely limited. They're not likely to beat a lot of people in any sort of press man. They're not going to get open. Jordan's threat of his running does allow you to open up other elements of your running game. That's kind of why that works.
Yeah.
We saw it doesn't work when Mackenzie Milton's in there. So this idea that, well, could you do something different and throw the ball around? No, you cannot.
I think they did. Isn't that what Dillingham said, Ira, that like yesterday, that the only bright spot they had was what they did on base downs, like first down passing, because they were pretty good. And he did sit in the pocket because he knew they weren't going to rush. They were going to get a run look, so they didn't have to worry about the rush. But obviously, third and 12.
Yeah, you're dead in the water.
You got no chance.
If the RPO
against
game allows
that defense,
the run pass option allows you the opportunity to pull and throw. But that's why we say going into these games that the fact that they engineer any kind of offense, and they had previous to the Clemson game, and Clemson's got a top five defense, but that's really kind of a minor miracle. That's why I give Dillingham and Norvell a ton of credit, and Atkins a ton of credit.
And man,
because by rights, you ought not be able to do anything. And everybody in the world knows what you're going to do.
I really think, man, I know it was one play, but if Trayshawn doesn't fumble, I think that's one of those Trayshawn Ward's runs we're accustomed to. It's probably a 15, 18, 20-yard run. Now all of a sudden you're at their 40, with the lead, I think with the lead, maybe not with the lead, but in the game, and you feel good, like, okay, we're in their zone again. You've never got past the 50
That's
in the second half.
Twice this year we've had a ball handed to us, and on the next play, a back put it back on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you think back to the
Corbin play. And he
didn't
even get four. He just fumbled out of his hands, man.
Yeah, he went down his elbow, his wrist hit. It's frustrating because
he tripped himself.
You get the opportunity, and you're like, okay, there it is. And then
and he's
like
awesome.
That.
He's been a really good football player.
Right.
That was just
and that's
a rough
the same
play.
Thing when Corbin did it. You're like, well, he's a good player. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, Cam Akers had a couple bad fumbles in his career. Just, it's football.
That's it for the Facebook questions, boys. I went through them all.
Go through Twitter.
Let's go over to Twitter. Here we go. Is it possible, writes Jared, that we had a better chance to beat Clemson this year rather than next? We have a ways to go, and they may get back on track next year. The talent gap is still going to be great. It's possible, yes. If DJ ever figures it out and they are able to shore up their offensive line in the middle, Clemson will be better next year than Florida State. I think conceivably could be worse on defense next year. Yeah, it could be a problem.
Ira, have you shut down?
No,
I don't understand what's going on.
I'm good. I'm good. I think, yeah, man, I think it could be. But I think when you look at DJ, I don't think he's going to be the answer. I mean, I watched his interview after the game, and I don't think he thinks – I think he thinks he's playing great. Just watching his interview and the way he answered questions.
Dabo or DJ?
DJ.
Oh.
So I don't know that he's a guy that's going to get a whole lot better.
Remember
now,
when
maybe
Felipe
they
Franks did that too at Florida? Right. He's like, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he got mad at the fans.
When
Felipe
he got
Franks
mad,
was yelling at Florida
he
fans.
He shushed his own fans, but he also told the media, like, you guys just don't understand football and what I'm trying to do. So, yeah, I think Clemson will certainly probably be better next year, but it's hard to know with the portal. The portal changes everything. And I don't think he likes the portal, Dabo.
No,
he's not into the portal. But Florida State, you might have six or seven completely different players out there that can really change the game, and you'll be at home. So that's what gives you – I mean, I don't think it's going to go back to 18 where you have no chance. I think you're trending up.
It's an interesting offseason. I mean, it's hard to project that far out. I think they've made some progress here, and I just think that when you're rebuilding, it's tough because you'll take some steps forward, but you'll take a step back in other areas. I'm less worried about Clemson and more worried about Florida State. I want to see, like I alluded to earlier, what they do in the portal. That gives you a better chance of kind of answering that question. It is possible, though, to answer his question, that this year was a much better chance to beat a struggling Clemson team than next. It's possible.
Yeah, you might not have the ball in the lead in the fourth quarter next year.
It's very realistic, in fact, to say that. This guy's mad that I used to say that, or I was saying prior to it changing the last 2 weeks, about Miami quitting. He says, can we get Jeff to stop saying Miami's about to quit? That team will not quit on Manny Diaz. Well,
I wouldn't say that's true.
I wouldn't say that's true at all. They kind of had.
But they found something.
And don't mutter Florida quitting on Mullen. He may be quitting on them.
Yeah. Well, and look, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but not really. Like, Miami's still giving up a ton of points and yards. Their defense isn't exactly flying around, playing well. But when you got a quarterback now that can put up 35 or 38 points, that does give you a little juice on the sidelines.
And I always feel like you can tell better, you get a better sense of where a team is psychologically and mentally in terms of culture and all that on defense, because that's more of an unselfish side of the ball. Offensive guys are always going to want to score.
Receivers
are going to want to score. Running backs are going to want to score. Quarterbacks are going to make big passes. But if the defensive players won't play for each other, then it gets exposed. Yeah. And that's where I think Miami's got some trouble.
Chris writes, what many have so far is that, is there anything more frustrating than just giving up 100 yards of field position every week because you refuse to catch a punt? People have hit their wits in on the punts, guys.
Yeah.
They're done. So the timing on warchant.com was really good for your article.
Yeah, well, they got
people want answers.
Yeah, they do want answers. I don't know if they'll love all those answers, but they do get answers. It's a big problem. When you're not good, as Iris says, well, Ira doesn't even like to call it hidden yardage. It's out there in the open.
Yeah.
You get to see how many yards you lost.
Everybody calls it hidden yardage. It's not hidden anymore.
Look at this.
Yeah, the ball's
right
rolling
here.
Down the
it's
ground.
It's still rolling. Yeah. How many yards is that, everybody?
The ball hit at the 33
12,
and went to the 20.
25. We're up to 37. I can see it. I can count those yards. It's not hidden at all.
Yeah.
This would have been caught at the 38. Instead, they got it at the 2. That's 36 yards, everybody. This is a problem. Seminole Headlines comes back. Wrap it up in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Now Walter writes, there you go. Did Ira or Corey get any feeling from the Ipte faithful that Dabo was two FSU first downs away from the hot seat? How shaky is the Sweeney Kingdom? Are they about to implode? I don't know that he would have been in any jeopardy of losing his job, but
how crazy would that have been? Like, this is a wrap, Dad, but we've seen enough.
Seen enough of you.
That would send a message. No, I wouldn't say that, but going back to what you guys mentioned the question in the last segment about was this a better chance than next year, it could be, but it also could be trending in the wrong direction for them.
And why didn't you answer that question when it was asked? What was going on over there?
Busy. I just get bored of the Jordan Travis talk. To me, the Jordan Travis thing it's so boring to me because he's all they've got. So we're arguing about whether or not he could have played better. Yeah, he could have played better, but he's the best they've got. So we just go in circles. So conversation.
I think it's relevant because I want to bring in another quarterback. But
I don't think anybody would argue against that. I
mean, he is.
Well, no,
every week he thinks Jordan's the best player in the world.
I'm
going to
say he's going to lose the battle.
Okay.
You brought in old hotshot from UCF.
I did?
Well, they did. Didn't work out.
Why did they do that?
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyhow.
Yeah, no, I mean, so that's why I'm just like, all right, we can do this for another 2 hours. I'm tired of that debate.
Well, you can answer this one?
Yeah, I think that – I don't think that he's on the hot seat or close to it, but I do think they could be trending in the wrong direction. And I think that, to me, is an interesting development to watch. You know, because Florida State's got to catch up to the other programs that are their top rivals. Clemson may be coming back to them pretty quickly. Florida really seems to be coming back to them pretty quickly. And I don't know that this Miami – I don't think Miami, the quarterback is good. He might be really good. He might be nearly as good as Corey thinks, but I don't think that's going to be the solution. They've got other problems in that program. So I think the window, I think, of opportunity is still open. For
how are they recruiting? What's Clemson
not
looking
great.
Like?
Oh, Clemson, you know, good. I mean, I don't know that.
I know they got a big-time quarterback coming in, I think.
You know, always.
Always, yeah. But, I mean, you know, we'll see if he can win the job. DJ was a big-time quarterback, too.
You know, it's kind of disheartening about that game. So they had a big prospect there, maybe the number one tight end in the 2023 class, Deuce Robinson.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have heard of old Deuce Robinson. Dominic Robinson's son.
Oh,
and,
okay.
He early on, you know, he's out in Arizona, and early on he was talking about Florida State, but he hasn't mentioned Florida State in a good
And what is
year,
he?
Year and a half tight end. He's like 6'6".
Well,
six.
Look, Florida State's got 11 tight ends, so
well,
it's too full.
Yeah.
There's a better opportunity to play at Clemson.
Did we reach out to him?
No, No, it's interesting that he's – like, he used to talk about Florida State and the fact that Dominic played at Florida State. And Dominic's a good guy and, like, has always been good to the program even after he left. When some guys in that area would take turns crapping on Florida State, he never did. But his son does not seem to have any interest. He was actually at the Clemson game and –
Well, maybe he liked what he saw. I mean, Jordan Wilson had a couple catches. We'll I think Cam had one before he got hurt.
We'll I do owe it to Jordan Wilson to say job well done.
You do?
Yeah.
Because he's been terrible all year and then made a couple plays this game. I got to give him credit.
That was
good.
A nice play on the sideline. It was like a 21-yard catch or something.
No, it was good to see. And because Cam McDonald went down, he was important and he played well. Yeah, I got to give Jordan credit.
Arch Manning was there, too.
Arch Manning was there.
Sir Stuart Wallace writes, I vote that we immediately put McCall and Hunter both back as dual punt returners the minute they step onto campus. Something tells me they both have the type of chutzpah that won't tolerate backing away from the football as if it's a bouncing grenade.
is that every – like, are all punts in the NFL like that now?
What?
The way they do it in college now?
No, I don't think so. But they kick them off 51 yards with 9 seconds
up,
of hang time.
They kick them straight into the air. They go, as Corey said, a good 50 to 60 yards. It's insane how good punters are in pros. Like the chance you're going to get a good return is pretty
minimal. Just, to me, it's like watching all knuckleballers. It's like a league full of Phil Negroes play punters.
You get a 51-yard punt and 22 yards of it was a roll, which is how – like, why don't they ever roll backwards? They like, you remember back in the day, I felt like punts went backwards as much as they went forward. Now with this newfangled, let's just kick it end over end, they just roll and roll and roll.
Fellas, first and foremost, yay sausage, writes Chris. Now with us getting closer to the end of the season and the extra eligibility last year from COVID, do you think many underclassmen will leave or will the majority decide to come back?
It's a concern. I mean, you guys were talking about it in the first hour, about the guys are going to lose on defense. I mean, Fabian Lovett's a key example of a guy who's been in college 3 years now.
He's had a good year.
Yeah, he's had a really good year. He's got a kid. He may want to bounce.
I think he's gone from what I've read.
And then you look at guys on, you know, the secondary, they've got some guys. There's a lot of guys on this team that have made progress. And could you – Amari Gaynor, you could see – I know you don't think he's a great player, but
he had his best game.
And he's going to test extremely well. So there's got, there, they've got guys that are going to have to make decisions. So that's going to be an issue. Everybody sees that extra COVID year and assumes those guys are going to be here 5 or 6 years. They may not be.
Yeah, Amari had a good first half, a really good first half, and one of his better games. I just think he's a little bit more limited than – you look at him, he looks like right. He's an All-American. So, yeah, that's some of the frustration there. Hey, guys, love the show. I feel torn. I want us to win and go to a bowl, but I also feel like Fuller isn't the right DC for us. How do you all feel? Do you see a scenario in which we go to a bowl and still get a top-notch defense coordinator? Well, if we go to a bowl, unless they're winning 58-51 every week, then Fuller did something right here in the second half of the season, and there'd be no reason to get rid of him.
But I don't think they're totally mutually exclusive. I think you could go to a bowl as a 5-7 team and still think you might need to make a change.
Sure, Like I said, change. I mean, you could win some games 37-31 or something like that.
It's so hard to evaluate, man, and that's where I just think it's hard to have a strong opinion because – they do have some limitations on defense in terms of personnel. Like early in the year, they never had guys available in the secondary. When they were playing poorly in the secondary, they had a lot of guys that were in and out. Last year, you can't really judge much of anything after last year. This Clemson game, I thought he brought pressure sometimes. When he didn't bring pressure sometimes, I thought he had DJ confused. I thought they did a nice job defensively in that game.
I thought that they did a good job of adjusting in the second half. Yeah. That's where I'll go. He adjusted well in the second half. I thought their plan in the first half was poor. He gave up more yards in the first half than Clemson's had all year long. And that's problematic, outside of the one game, the 48-7 game. So that is a...
But the second half, Clemson did jack squat, and they kept getting the ball. And they got the ball in good field
position.
And it was
the last couple drives of the first half. Because if you look, I mean, they got the ball. We were thinking, oh, Clemson's going to score here.
Well, it's crazy. At the end of the first half, Clemson decided to shut it down. What was Dabo doing?
Yeah, man.
They just don't trust that quarterback at all.
They don't trust them at all. And that's what's so frustrating and maddening about those two 30-yard penalties. I don't think that kid was going to lead them down the field if the ref slash you – don't give them those 30 yards. I just don't. I mean, that throw he made, Knowles is beat. A good throw is a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a touchdown.
He makes
a
terrible throw and gets rewarded for it. And I don't think that kid was going
to
do it.
Back to my point about DJ, though, and this is why I don't think he's going to get a whole lot better. So he's getting interviewed after the game about his interception that Omarion Cooper, Duke Cooper, had.
Which was nice to see.
They're like, so on that play, were you supposed to throw it there? He's like, yeah, that was the play call. And they're like, yeah, but even with the safety there, that's where you're supposed to. He goes, that was my guy. That's who I was supposed to throw to.
Oh, no.
And it was like, they're like, oh, but he really, even with the guy, and he's like, he goes, yeah.
Are you sure?
Finally, at the end, he goes, I probably could have put a little more air on it. I probably could have got
I'd have to throw it right to the fourth.
I had to give it right to him. That's a toughie. Good job, Matthew, for Corey and Ira. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be well. We'll talk to you next time. Good old.